Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Cyber Security Recruiter podcast. Today, I'm joined by Dwayne Butler. How are you doing?
Very good. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Nice to see you. For everyone listening, me and Dwayne were just discussing. This is the third time lucky, mate, isn't it? So yeah, we were just discussing whose fault it was, but I think there was a hurricane that occurred, and then I think I said that was a hell of a reason not to do the pod. I don't think mine was a genuine reason as that, Dwayne, but long story short, we're here now, and that's the main thing, hey?
Outstanding. I'm happy to be here.
cool. All right, Dwayne, yeah, nice to see you. I've had a few fellow recruiters on the podcast, especially this year, and I did another episode where I had two recruiters on simultaneously, and I feel like although the market's heating up again, I feel like this probably now is a really valuable time for people to hear two fellow recruiters chatting. I think there's a lot of people that have had a tough time on the market and stuff like that, so I'm looking forward to it, mate.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it as well.
Yeah, cool. So for the listeners that don't know you, you started off as a recruiter in the United States Air Force, and you progressed on to various roles, was in a management role for the Air National Guard as well for over 8 years. You also held positions in sales and director level positions at places like Brown Mackey College. And currently you are at, and forgive me if I'm pronouncing this wrong, you are at Chenega. And you started off there as a senior recruiter. You've been there for almost a decade, and you have progressed up to a leadership role of talent acquisition team lead. So doing a lot of hiring there, especially in and around the security areas. Yeah, looking forward to your insights. Welcome to the show. And did I get the intro about right?
Yeah, that is about right. Yeah, 21 years in the Air Force, and I've been with Chenega. I know it's spelled a little differently, but it's Chenega. For almost 10 years now. So it's an awesome company. I love being here and love being on the show. So I'm ready to roll.
Yeah, cool. But yeah, no, welcome to the show, man. I know I've done you a bit of an intro, but I'll start where I always start, which is what's life like day to day? How are you finding the market? How are you finding hiring? Yeah, what's going on in the world of Dwayne at the minute?
Well, the world of Dwayne when it comes to recruiting is always busy, which is always a good thing. So Chenega, we are an Alaska-born 8A defense contractor. We currently have over 8,000 employees. MIOS, which is the strategic business unit that I am under, we currently have over 2,000 employees. We specialize in military intelligence operations support. Falls right in line with those cybersecurity roles and the people that are transitioning out of the military. We are very active, when it comes to veteran recruiting and people coming out of the military and putting them into roles that not only they're familiar with, but roles that they can grow in, and not only as an employee, but as a person as well, and grow their skill sets and really take off in their second career.
Cool. Yeah. I can imagine with 8,000 across the company from a recruitment standpoint, you're always going to be busy.
We're always busy.
Cool. In terms of what you're looking for at the minute, is there anything like you're seeing applicants do that's great? Is there anything you're seeing applicants do that's not so great? What could the listeners learn from what you like to see and what you don't like to see as a recruiter from people trying to basically apply for roles with you, my friend?
Exactly. So as being a recruiter, every recruiter has a different style and the different things that they look for. When it comes to my personal style that I'm looking for, it's always, hey, did the person tailor their resume to the job that they're looking for? And that's a very important thing to do when you're out there on the job market, when you're looking for those roles that kind of fit exactly what you're looking for. Tailor your resume, your skill set to exactly what the position is looking for. If you have those skills, put them in your resume. Make sure that they're upfront and ready to go so the recruiters can see that you have the skills that they're looking for. Some of the main things that I always say, these are things that you really need to make sure that you're doing, is have a business email for yourself that's dedicated just to jobs, just to job applications. So if it's your name at yahoo.com or something along those lines, that's great. But nobody, if you have an email and it says, I like to party at yahoo.com, that's probably not the best professional email that you want to send out to a potential employer. Like I learned a long time ago, you never get a second chance to make a first impression. Mm-hmm. So make sure that you have a professional email. Make sure that your LinkedIn is set up and is professional as well. You know, if that's what it's there for. Really take a look at those job descriptions. Tailor your resume to those job descriptions. And when you find those people on LinkedIn that are connected to that job, go ahead and connect with them. There's nothing wrong with that at all. I look forward to that. If somebody applies for a position and they reach out to me on LinkedIn, I know that not only is this person probably going to be qualified, but they're interested to the point that they're reaching out. And that's somebody that I can be like, hey, that's probably going to be a pretty good applicant right there that we could talk to and possibly get a new career.
Mm. Yeah, thanks, mate. And yeah, what everything you said there makes life easier for the candidate, but it makes life easier for the likes of me and you as well, mate, because when I see stuff on LinkedIn, when people have applied for 300, 400, 500 roles, did you apply or did you just click easy apply? Did you actually tailor the resume, tailor a cover note, personalize it? Because if you do that 500 times, like, there's no way you would just get ignored. But if you're just pinging out generic resumes as a recruiter, you get that type of thing all the time. So I think, yeah, tailoring things and that personalization piece, because AI and automation is so prevalent now, that type of thing is just going up and up in terms of its value, isn't it?
Oh, yes, definitely. And now with some of the positions that I'm recruiting for, a lot of these have a requirement to have an active security clearance. So if it says secret clearance required or top secret clearance required, if you have that and you meet the other minimum requirements, then go for it. Definitely apply. But you could have all the skill set in the world, but if you don't have that clearance, it's an automatic no-go, unfortunately. There are some positions that can afford you the opportunity to get a security clearance. But if it says secret clearance required or top secret clearance required and you don't have that, unfortunately, that's going to be an automatic no-go. So look for those positions that say background check required or ability to obtain a secret clearance. Those positions right there give you the opportunity to get an active secret clearance or an active security clearance so you can get into that role, get into that field and start growing.
Yeah, we've just done one for, you probably know Spectre Ops, we've just done a TSSCI security cleared role for them. And it's, yeah, they're long days, aren't they? When you find a good candidate who's got that level of clearance, and I'm sure you've had the ones with Polly as well, it's, you can see why we're needed, basically, because those candidates don't just roll in, do they?
No, unfortunately not. It would make things a lot easier if they did, but unfortunately they don't. So, but yeah, if you're on the market and you have that kind of a skill set, then, you know, Chiniga can definitely put you in a position to thrive with your skill set and your career.
Yeah, cool. And I tend to find as well, I'd be interested to hear your thoughts. I tend to find the folks that are in that cleared space, and even though there is that on-site element and stuff like that they actually like being in that space and they're very used to it. And I think it's a bit like some guys, it's a bit like Marmite. Some guys really like it, some guys and girls don't. But I think the guys and girls that are in it, they really have found a home and they tend to stick within that cleared space. It's quite nice.
Yes, having that kind of a clearance and working in a SCIF or a cleared environment, a lot of people enjoy that and that's awesome. Mm-hmm. It doesn't afford you some of the things like working from home, but that's okay because you have other benefits that go with it as in having that clearance.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen a bit of flex. There's always an on-site element, isn't there? But the government, the US, the DOD and stuff have opened it up a bit in terms of hybrid and going in so many days a week. But I think there'll always be that.
Depending on the position, depending on what you're working on, yeah, sometimes that is an option. But a lot of times it's not that you have to do it from the cleared space. And the people that have those skill sets understand that.
Yeah, cool. And yeah, on the email, yeah, that's a good point. Just keeping it professional. I think for the bulk of 2023 and the start of this year, it's very much on the whole been an employer's market. So if there is any like crazy emails on there or even just the smallest little typo and stuff in the resumes, it can just throw you straight out if the role's oversubscribed, you know?
Yeah, it's attention to detail. It really is. Spell check your resume. Make sure that I'm not a big person when it comes to format. I'm more of a person that, what does your resume say? So it can have a header and footnotes and bullets and all this other kind of great stuff, which is awesome. But I'm more interested in what your resume says than how it's formatted. But I know that kind of makes me a weirdo, but that's just me. But you definitely want to make sure that you're spell checking, making sure that you have a professional email address, that it looks professional because you're applying for a profession. There's a definite difference. So make sure that you're doing that, and you'll give yourself the opportunity to get into that company.
Cool. Thanks. And you mentioned earlier about reaching out on LinkedIn, and it's nice to hear that you do that, because I bet there's a lot of security folks that probably want to reach out to someone like yourself, but they might think, oh God, am I going to annoy him? Shall I do it? They might overthink it, essentially. So it's nice to hear that you do that. Any particular way that you do like to be approached, or any particular do's and don'ts on that front?
Keep it professional. If somebody's reaching out via LinkedIn and saying, hey, I'm transitioning and here's what I'm looking for, here's our career site. Take a look. Let me know what you find and I'll be happy to help. Because finding a job is a job. You have to put time in. You got to put some effort in to finding that new position. So if somebody's done that, then yeah, I'm more than happy to help out and guide you along those pathways to get that new position. But LinkedIn messaging is fine. Sending me an email through the Chiniga career site is fine as well. Clearance Jobs, I'm on there too, just like everybody else who's on the job boards. If you find a position that you're interested in and you meet those minimum qualifications, I'm happy to help.
Cool. You mentioned LinkedIn. LinkedIn has just become so, so powerful. I just find it just phenomenal for meeting candidates. Not every good candidate's on LinkedIn, as I'm sure you're doing, but it's, even if I think back, I think that's how me and you connected. If you use it, it's a hell of a tool.
Definitely. Definitely a powerful tool. And if you're using it the correct way, it can definitely open doors for you.
Cool. And so there'll be people listening to this when it goes out that are either coming out the US Army or coming out the Air Force. And I think it's a frightening time for a lot of people, or a bit of a daunting time. I think some manage better than others, but it'll be nice to hear from you. What do you know now that you wish you knew back then? Is there anything that you wish you could have done different, or anything now that you wish you had those years back? Any tips on that front?
Oh, the transition is definitely difficult. I know I had a hard time with it. I transitioned with a couple of the people that I had known, and we all had a hard time with it. So transition is not easy. And I thought I was prepared. I had done the TAP briefings. I had done the resume building, the LinkedIn building. I had done all that, but still really wasn't set for what the civilian world can bring to you. So you definitely want to sit down and plan out where you want to go, what you want to do. For people coming out of the military, this is an opportunity to do what you want to do. Everybody, since you're a kid, what do you really want to do when you grow up? Here's an opportunity to do what you want to do. You may have been an aircraft mechanic. You may have been in the medical field, soldier, a member of the Navy, whatever, Marine Corps, doing whatever. But this is an opportunity for you to say, okay, I really want to do this. And this is what I want to concentrate on. And if that's what you want to do, then go for it. Here's an opportunity. And find those job descriptions that match what you want to do. Find out how much those positions pay. Because one of the biggest things you're going to have to do is figure out, besides what you're going to wear every day, which you're not wearing your uniform every day. One of the biggest things you're going to have to do is figure out where that money is going to be coming from now. Even if you're retired, you're going to have to start planning to have that income start coming in. Start looking at what you're going to have to do, what it's going to cost to live on the outside, how much your bills are going to be, how much all those things are going to cost, and then what it's going to cost you, what you need to have for you and your family to maintain your lifestyle or improve it. So you know what you're going to need. The last thing you want to do is walk into a job interview and be like, how much are you looking for? And you say, I don't know. Or you say, I'm not sure. Or 20 bucks an hour is great. When in actuality, you have a family that you got to take care of and you need a lot more. Planning is a very important step. So plan your work your plan, and the transition will be a little easier. It's not going to be easy, but it will be easier. One of the things that I do is I go to the TAP briefings and the employer panels and say that exact thing. You have to make sure that you're planning. You got to make sure that you're taking the steps to make sure that you're prepared. And as I said before, finding a job is a job. You got to put that time in. Find those positions, find those companies that you want to work with, Chiniga. Look at those job descriptions, make contact with recruiters, with people, and they can, you know, open doors for you or give you the right way to guide yourself into those companies.
Yeah, cool. Thanks, mate. When you said you thought you was prepared and then you found it hard, what kind of shocked you or what hit you or what was it that was so challenging, mate?
The biggest thing I had was in the military, we're always taught, hey, somebody's got your back. Somebody's always watching your six. In the civilian world, you don't have that. It's every person for themselves. It can be rough because when you turn around to look and to ask questions and there's no one to ask, you're like, okay, now what do? I really got to figure this out on my own, and you don't really know where to turn. So that can, when I was transitioning, that was a rough way to go. And I just had to plod through it and reached out to some of my friends who were going through the same things and still maintain contact with those people today, even though it's been 12 plus years since I've retired. Still maintain contact with those folks, and we still help each other to this day.
It's really interesting you say that, because the only thing I can relate it to is when I first came into the recruitment world and the B2B world, it's just shocking. Like, you think, oh, I'll message them and they'll definitely message me back. And then all of a sudden it's like, no one's coming back to you. And you're like, actually, this is pretty fierce. So it's like, you know, and it's like, I was speaking to another veteran on the show a few weeks back, and he was like, yeah, I just approached all these companies that said they were veteran friendly, and I just sent them a message, and I just thought they'd all come back to me straight away because they all support the cause and they all support veteran. And he was like, they all just ignored me. And I was, it's like, what, like it hits you.
It does. And when you're reaching out to those companies, once again, doing your homework on those companies and taking a look at their career site and saying, hey, Chiniga's got a construction manager position open. That's what I did in the Army. That's something I would really like to have to do. So I'm going to reach out to that recruiter and reach out to the Chiniga career site to say, hey, what do I need to do this? That way you're not only just reaching out saying, help me, I need a job. You're saying, hey, I'm transitioning. Here's my skill set. I found a job that I'm qualified for. What do I need to do? Yeah. And that right there shows you're showing the initiative that you're not only just saying help, but you're saying help. I found something that I want to do that I think would be a great fit, not only for me, but for you as well. Let's see if we can do this.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it shows, let's say, an ability to think for yourself. It shows a certain level of common sense, intelligent and practical thinking. And, you know, when I think about it from, I think sometimes we don't always think about it from the other person's perspective, in this case, the employers. But if we take your firm, for example, Dwayne, if there's 8,000 people there, if you've got 8,000 people, you need people that can think for themselves, that can think on their feet, that have got a bit about them. Because if no one can do any of that, and there's 8,000 people on the payroll, that's a stressful week.
it definitely can be. One of the things I love about Chiniga is it's very family oriented. It really is. I've been here for 10 years, and I really can't say enough about what they've done to help me as a person grow as a recruiter and a person itself, but my family as well. I'm very thankful for being in this company and being able to support the shareholders like we do.
Yeah, good, cool. Is there anything else in terms of the sorts of profiles that you're looking for and the company's looking for that could be useful for the listeners to know about, the sort of folks that you most like to hear from?
Oh, like I said, there's a lot of different opportunities that Chiniga has right now. I know we're the MIOS strategic business unit that I am a part of. We specialize in, like I said, military intelligence operations support. So we have those IT positions. We have those cleared positions that include everything from IT to construction, engineering positions. There's a lot of opportunity that's out there right now. So when you have your profile on LinkedIn or you have your profile on the job boards, just make sure it's your most complete resume. Highlight your skill set. You built time. You spent time creating these, gathering all this skill set, gathering all these talents that you now have. So put them on there. Make sure it's on there. If you've completed your degree, put it on there. If you've got your active certifications, whether that be Security Plus, A Plus, Network Plus, CISSP, CEH, anything else that comes along, put, if that stuff is active, put it on your resume. So that way, when a recruiter looks at it, here it is. Boom. I've got this kind of skill set. I've got all this completed education. I have certifications. And here's my contact information. Got to have contact information. You could have the best resume in the world, but if I don't have your email or your phone number, I can't send an owl like Harry Potter. So make sure that your contact information is on there.
Have you ever had it before, Dan, where you're like, you through referral or word of mouth, you get that phenomenal resume and you go on the LinkedIn profile and you're like, I wouldn't have even approached them, because their LinkedIn profile is just so not up to speed. I've seen it before, and it's to your point, like, it's keeping your resume up to date, but also remembering, like, your LinkedIn profile is, I call it like your 3D resume. Like, it's just so important to get these things right.
Yes, it is. It's a living, breathing resume, and you never know who's going to look at you that day. And you, the next person that looks at your resume could be the person that literally changes your life. That's why I got into recruiting, and I've been in recruiting for almost 20 years now, both militarily and civilian. And the biggest thing that I get out of it is having the ability to change somebody's life for the better.
Whether
that's putting them into a new position, guiding them into a new role, whether that's with Chiniga or not, most of the time it is with Chiniga, but being able to put somebody in a position that they're going to have the ability to grow and support their family and be better off. You really can't get better than that. You know, unless you're a first responder saving lives, you know, for me, being able to help people is the most important aspect that I have that comes with.
I know that feeling of when you know what you're looking for, and you meet and you hear someone talking and everything's just lining up perfect, and you just know it's the right, it feels good.
Yes, it does. It feels good.
On the, I always like to talk about communication on the pod, and as I'd expect, and your communication spot on as a recruiter. It's a skill set that we use on a regular basis, and I feel like in the security community, people can access technical information quite easily on various different online sources and mediums, but not necessarily stuff on how to get their communication skills where they need to be. Is there any thoughts or hints or tips you've got on the communication front for security folks?
When it comes to communication, it's odd, because as a kid growing up, I was extremely shy. I didn't like talking, and there was no way I was ever going to do anything like this. But getting into recruiting gives you that ability to do that. So if you're looking to get yourself out into the job market, or you're looking to improve your communication skills, just start looking at the different things that can expound that skill set. And the easiest thing that I did when I was starting in recruiting was just getting out and talking to people. When you're standing in line at the grocery store, or you're just start talking to people, just be nice. It sounds simple, and it sounds just really, just be nice, because you're not only are you improving your communication skills, but you're probably brightening somebody's day. Just saying, hey, how you doing? Oh, hey, I bought that last week. It was awesome. Or just, you know, getting out of that shell to improve your communication skills. Because what that does is improves your ability to handle yourself in an interview. You get to the point where you're okay with talking face-to-face, or you're okay with talking via podcast like we are now, or via Teams or anything like that. It kind of breaks you out of that shell where you're a little bit more comfortable. And you're like, you know what? I can do this. I can accurately express my skill sets to make sure that the person that I'm talking to knows that I'm the person for this job.
Yeah, thanks, man. And you know what? I see it so much on the market where people don't necessarily always understand how important that communication piece is. And especially like in for people working on a consulting basis and dealing with end clients and stuff like that, I see it again and again. I've had it with various vacancies this year where people match up perfectly technically, but their communication is just not where it needs to be for dealing with end clients. And I'm trying to explain to the candidate, look, my end client really needs you to be able to liaise with their clients and hold a conversation and kind of really deliver findings and explain why things need fixing and so on and so forth. And it's, I think sometimes people, I think like the word soft skills almost plays them down, but like they're so important. And I'm seeing it more and more from clients like asking me find people that have done public speaking. Please find people that can deliver findings, articulate risk, can really communicate with non-technical people really well as technical people. It's like this, that particular skill set, I think, is just so valuable.
Oh, incredibly. And one of the things that you can, in addition to some of the things I had talked about prior, was take a public speaking course. And I know speaking in public is one of those fears that a lot of people have, and it can be nerve-wracking. Sometimes it can just shake you to the bone. But preparation is the ingredient that will get you through that. As I said, I was a extremely shy kid, didn't like talking in class, just didn't do that. And I got to the point where I was up briefing over 1,000 people on programs that I knew, and that's, look, this is how you can do it. Public speaking is one of those things that you have to get an acquired taste for. You just have to do it. So in getting out and talking, just talking to people helps you do that. Believe it or not, it does. And one of the things, fun, and it's going to sound weird, but when those radio stations have contests, call in, because a lot of times they're going to talk to you on the air. You know, if you get that opportunity, go for it. If you're out and about at an event and you see the news, go talk to them. Like I said, it breaks you out of that shell. And then when you get to a point where you're at work and your boss comes to you and says, hey, I really need you to go over and talk to the client to say, this is what we did, this is what the effect was, and this is how we're going to improve moving forward. The job, all of that data, now it's just a fact of presenting it and having the ability to stand up and present that. It'll make you feel a lot better when you have it.
It does. And what I found is it makes normal tasks seem easy. If you've done a public speaking course and then you've got to talk to a client, I know from doing this podcast, like when I first started, I used to get so nervous. And then the next time I got on a client call, I used to get nervous on client calls. But doing a client call compared to doing a LinkedIn Live or doing a pod is like a walk in the park. So all of a sudden, whenever a new job comes in as a recruiter, you talk to a client, it's like, yeah, you're not even nervous anymore. It's like, wow, this is good. So I think it's the same with anything. It's like at first it just seems getting uncomfortable. You know, a lot of people say it sounds a bit cliche, but get comfortable being uncomfortable. It really makes a big difference. But I've heard all sorts of, there's a guy called Tim, he won't mind me saying, he's been on the podcast. He's a very successful CEO and founder. And he was telling me the first time he did his public speaking, I think he had the stage booked for an hour, but he was so nervous that he read all his notes in 15 minutes and it was just like over in a flash. And he said it was just so embarrassing, but that was his first public speaking engagement. But if you met Tim now, like he's live on social all the time. He's at security conferences and et cetera. And it seems like it's all natural and second nature to him, but it wasn't. It's just pushing yourself to do it.
Exactly. It's an acquired taste. And I think I did the exact same thing. The first major briefing I had to give, standing up in front of a couple hundred people. And it was like, I was talking extremely fast and they were like, okay, thank you.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be a half hour and I just ran through it in 6 minutes. It's just an acquired taste. And it's something, as you said, get comfortable with being uncomfortable. And having a public speaking course trained you to get over that initial shock of standing up and having all eyes on you. But once you get through that, it's a piece of cake. And then you start enjoying it. And having the ability to do that will definitely improve your skill set and give you the opportunity to grow and do different things in your company.
Yeah, cool. And we'll talk about speaking fast. I think everyone always thinks that everyone's hanging on to every last word you say and any little thing you do. They're probably not. You're probably thinking about it more. And I saw this thing with Steve. I think it was with Steve Jobs. And someone asked him a question. And it took 18 seconds whilst he was live on stage to even answer their question. And that's ultimate confidence from his side. I'm imagining that at the time Apple was doing pretty well and he was feeling pretty good about himself. But it just shows you don't need to rush and stuff like that. And
exactly.
You can really take your time.
Exactly.
So cool. As we're on the subject of communication, so we've tailored our resume, we've maybe hit you up on LinkedIn as well, buddy, and we've got some good rapport established and we're at the interview stage. Maybe we're having an interview with you, or maybe we're on to one of the technical engineers with Intiga. Any interview tips, advice, any do's and don'ts, any kind of common pitfalls that you see or learnings there for people listening, mate?
Yeah, definitely. Being able to speak to your resume. So take a once over, read your resume, make sure that you can speak to your skill set because they're going to ask you about it. You also don't want to be doing an interview in the drive-thru at McDonald's. Try to be in a place that's a little quiet with minimal distractions. You want to have the ability to give your full attention to the people that you're speaking with. You want to make sure that the attention factor is given to the people that you're speaking with. So And I want to say, have your resume. And then also you want to have a copy of that job description. So, you know, have a couple of questions prepared. So, hey, this job description looks like it's going to be at the Washington Navy Yard. But where am I going to be working? The details say that I'm going to be a construction manager. What exactly am I going to be doing? Are the hours going to be 8 to 5, 7 to 4? Oh, what are the hours? Is there any flexibility with those hours? Have those kinds of questions ready so they know that you're prepared, that you did your homework, and that, hey, I'm legit interested in this position. I'm qualified for this position, and I'm ready to do this.
Yeah, no, cool, mate. And I think if you do that and you're asking questions in and around the job, even if it's more like subconsciously, you're telling that hiring manager or that recruiter that I have paid attention, I have looked at what I'm applying for, I do care, and it's all making a good impression. I really like your point about make sure you're not doing it in the McDonald's drive-thru or out and about. And I think keeping in mind that you are being continually assessed throughout that hiring process. I don't know if you get this, Dwayne, but sometimes I get it where we pick up a new vacancy from a new or existing client, and candidates come on the call and perhaps things aren't quite right, or they're on the phone or this, that. And it doesn't matter whether you're an internal recruiter or an agency recruiter. If I'm seeing that and I'm thinking, I'm tasked with finding the best person for my client. If I've interviewed, I don't know, 20 people and I've got like three or four that I've really got my eye on, and one of them's come on his or her phone walking through a supermarket, or like you say, going through a McDonald's drive-thru, they're probably going to go to the bottom of the pile. Like, these things make a difference, mate, don't they?
They do make a difference. And one of the main things I would say when it comes to that is sometimes you're going to get calls where you're not in the best environment. You might be in a drive-thru. You might be at a ball game or something along those lines. Just tell them, hey, thank you for the call. Let me call you right back when I get into a place where it's a little bit more quiet, where it's a little bit more where we can speak, where we're not trying to yell over each other. And if you're on the job market, answer your phone. Now, I know everybody and their brother right now get spam calls. Completely understand. But if you're on the job market, you need to be picking up the phone. And when you pick up the phone, you need to be professional. Hey, hello, and if it's a job, if it's a potential employer, you're okay. But if you pick up the phone and you're like, hey, or what's up? Something along those lines, that's not really a professional way to answer the phone if you're on the job market. And once again, you never get a second chance to make a first impression. And if that recruiter or that hiring manager is calling you and you pick up the phone and you're like, what? That's probably not going to be the best impression that you're going to be. You're not putting your best foot forward. So be prepared. And as you said just a little bit ago, you're constantly being evaluated when you're on the job market. When people are looking at your resume and reaching out to you, be prepared to answer the phone. Be prepared to answer that email. Mm-hmm. And when you do, like I said, be professional. As professional as you can be to reply and give them the best picture of yourself.
Yeah, definitely. And I think another way for candidates and applicants to think of it is anyone we put forward is a representation of us. So we care for lots of different reasons, and we care about finding the right person and the best person for the company we're representing. But also it is a representation of us. And if anything ever goes wrong, I'm sure you're the same as me, Dwayne. Yeah, I absolutely hate. We've got a contract run out with one of our offensive security clients and something's gone wrong and it's not our fault. But I'm like, it really niggles me. If you've been doing the job for a long time, I'm sure you're the same as me. Like, we really care and we want to make sure things are right. So any red flags pop up, I think it's hard for candidates to come back from. But it's true what you said. If you are in one of those spots, handle it. I had one particular person that messaged me before a call and said, look, as it happens, this has happened. I'm going to be in this spot. Is that still okay? And I thought that was a great way to handle it as well.
Yeah. Communication. Once again, if something happens and you need to reschedule, just let those people know. Sometimes things happen and that's okay. Mm-hmm. Communication is a main factor. But if you show an interview, that's not a good look. So communication is a good thing. Now, if you happen to no-show because there was a serious issue, then hey, then that recruiter is going to go back and say, look, this person had an issue. Let's get this rescheduled because it's a quality person and something happened and we can overlook this. Mm-hmm. But if you oversleep or you just forget, it comes back to that attention to detail. You got to be ready. You got to be ready. So
yeah.
Communication is a major aspect in the entire job process, the hiring process.
It is. I've got clients where if there was a no-show, there's just no coming back from them. It's difficult. Do you get many no-shows, by the way?
Thankfully, no. When I'm sending somebody forward, I usually have a pretty detailed conversation about what they're going to be looking for. Send them emails about, hey, this is who you're going to be speaking with. Be prepared. So that way, when you're going into the interview, you're ready. I said log in a few minutes early so there's no communication issues, there's no video issues. Just, hey, be prepared. It all comes down to that. If you're ready, and the rest will come to you.
Yeah. I'll tell you what I do. So when, not once they're past me and through to my client, but when we're, see, we don't really advertise. We go to market every time we get a vacancy. And when I'm doing anything mid or more junior level, I will get some no-shows when I'm doing my initial calls. But then when I get up to VP or anything really senior, everyone just shows up. But I hardly ever work junior vacancies because typically our clients don't want to pay a fee for a junior. So we don't work many junior vacancies. But when I do get them, I was shocked at how many people just didn't get a lot of these fundamentals. And I was thinking, God, like people have got a chance here to break in, and it's the communication piece, doing things, all the stuff you're saying. I think at certain levels of the market, if you just get all that, you're probably in the top 10-15%.
Yeah, definitely.
Makes a difference. Yeah,
definitely. If you're doing all those things, then you're giving yourself the best opportunity, and that's all you can do. If you're communicating, you're reaching out, your resume is awesome, you got a great email, you're ready, you can speak to your skill set, you meet the minimum qualifications, you're ready for the interview. You're comfortable in the interview. You're not, you know, shaken or whatever, but you're prepared and you're ready to go. That's all you can do. That's all you can do, and give yourself the best opportunity. And more often than not, that's going to work out for you. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it's going to take that second, third, fourth try to do that. But each one, as I say, every time a door closes, one opens. So if an interview does not work out for you, perhaps the next one will. And just keep knocking out, keep getting yourself prepared and having that positive attitude that this is the one that I'm going to get.
Yeah, that's key. And I love what you said earlier about looking for a job is a job. I like that.
Exactly right. You can't sit there and go 20 minutes on a job board, send out a couple resumes and said, okay, I did my job hunting for the day.
No.
Then what you're doing is you're job hunting. You're not looking for your career. If you're really looking for a career, you'll sit down and do that plan. Figure out where you want to be. What companies do you want to work with? How much am I going to need to support my lifestyle? Where do I need to go? What kind of schedule do I need to do? Is it worth the travel? Is it going to be a 45-minute commute or is it going to be an hour and a half commute? How much is that going to be in gas? Is there tolls? Do all of that homework so that way you're ready and you know where to look. You're prepared.
Yeah, definitely. And I think if people do all these things, reaching out on LinkedIn, tailoring the resume, I think rather than applying for 40, 50, 60 roles, you know, 100 roles, because it's so easy to apply these days, I think just apply for 10, but apply for 10 that you are actually going to enjoy doing that role. You're going to add value to that employer. You're going to stick around because there's some genuine growth, stimulation and progression there for yourself. And then, yeah, like you say, apply for it like you actually really mean it. Tailor it. Hyper-personalization. That's makes life so much nicer and easier for everyone.
Yeah. And now if you're going to work every day and you're like, oh, I get to go to work today. Something you might want to, you know. But if you enjoy what you do, if you're content with what you do, you're going to be better at it. And it all comes down to looking for that potential career. And those people that are transitioning out of the military, here's your opportunity. Go find something you want to do. Because if you enjoy what you do, you're going to be better at it. You're going to provide a better product for your customers, whoever that internal or external customer is. And you're just going to be better. You're just going to be a happier person. You're going to be a more content person with what you're doing and where you are.
Yeah, no, definitely. And yeah, like you say, it's the right thing to do. And I think these days, having that more personalized, authentic, real, genuine approach. It just stands out. It just stands out a mile these days. Cool, Dwayne. Yeah, I always like to ask people, this doesn't have to be recruitment or security related, but it can be. But what book or like podcast or online content have you been utilizing or consuming over the years that's made you a better version of yourself or helped your career growth and your career progression that you could share with me and the listeners?
I like to look at, there's a lot of stuff on LinkedIn that I've looked at. When I first got into recruiting, I spoke to the people that I was working with. But thankfully now, there's podcasts like the ones you have here. There's all kinds of different opportunities out there to grow your skill set. When it comes to where I'm growing my skill set at, the opportunities for webinars on LinkedIn, there's all kinds of different ones. I just did one just the other day on AI and how that's affecting recruiting coming up.
Oh, wow.
So it's amazing what's happening. Being ahead of the curve or as much as you can be does help. But having the ability to grow your skill set when it comes to getting certifications, when it comes to improving your education, if you're coming out of the military, using your GI Bill to go into and finish your education or go get those certifications that you're going to need to get into, say, like an IT field or a security field. When it comes to cybersecurity, you're going to have something like a Security Plus or a CISSP or a Certified Ethical Hacker. You're going to have those things. So being able to have some help in getting those with the GI Bill or a tuition assistance program or something along those lines is definitely going to help.
Yeah, I think as well, it's almost like you mentioned there a podcast for recruiters going into AI. And it's, I sometimes wonder if, myself included, we all just take how accessible all this information is. Like to think that me and you could log online tonight and we could find a podcast probably on any aspect of recruitment, whether it's, I don't know, like interviews or whether it's like the delivery. We could just find it at AI. And like years ago, you'd have had to like travel, maybe get a plane ride, maybe pay to get entry, do all this. And now it's all just there. And we all just need to remember that we're living in the age of the internet where everything is just ridiculously accessible. So it's all there if you're prepared to use it.
The key word you said there was prepared. Having a plan to know where you want to be. How are you going to get there? What are those steps that you're going to need to do that? Do you need to get into a position that's going to require a security clearance? Are you going to need a certification? Do you need your degree? And just plan out those steps on how to get there. Being prepared is a major thing.
Was there anything interesting on that podcast webinar about AI?
There was a lot that was interesting on it, how it's affecting not only the job search, but how job descriptions are written, on how people can use it for good and sometimes use it for not so good and put profiles out there that are not necessarily who they are. So it just puts you on the front line to say, be advised, make sure that you're putting your skill set and having a true picture of yourself out there so you can have the best opportunity to get the career that you want to get.
When it was saying about people saying they're not who they are, is it people making their resumes look better than they are with AI?
Yeah, that's one of the things they did bring up. Thankfully, I have not run into that. The people that I'm dealing with and the people that my team are dealing with are all great individuals and they're going to be great additions to Chiniga. But
good. I've had it on the client side where clients have said to me they've always recruited themselves, they've never used a recruiter, but now they're getting all these resumes through, they all look perfect, they're doing 25-30 interviews, no one's any good, so now they're seeing the value of a recruiter. So I actually think it was like, oh yeah, job boards, they're going to take all recruiters' jobs. Then it was LinkedIn's going to take everyone's job. Now it's AI. I actually think AI is making what me and you do more valuable, because if every resume looks phenomenal, you need a recruiter to assess
it. It comes down to, can this person present their legit skill set? Can they come through and talk to their skills? Can they present exactly what they're presenting on their resume? If you can, then great. Then you're the person for us. If you can't, then you know what? Maybe that person needs to go back and take another look on what they're presenting.
All right, mate. Listen, the best part of an hour soon went. Do you think we've done okay? Do you think we've about covered everything?
Yeah, I think this was awesome. I really enjoyed talking to you and your audience today. And I'd like to say that Chiniga has a lot of opportunities out there. And I'll be happy to help out wherever somebody needs some help. Feel free to reach out and I'll be happy to guide you to your near career in Chinatown.
Yeah, good. What we'll do is, for everyone listening, in the show notes on YouTube and stuff, we'll put the Chinatown page on there. If it's okay with you, we'll put your LinkedIn profile on there as well so people can reach out and stuff like that. And yeah, all good. Nice to see you. And I know you're mega busy, so thanks for your time as well.
Thank you for having me. I enjoyed it.
Likewise. See you soon. Thanks, Dwayne.